You know, there was a sign on the freeway in when I was traveling to come here. I was heading down the highway from my house to the airport. And there was a big billboard put up by some Christian group saying, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. For either you will love the one and hate the other, either you will serve the one and not serve the other. And it's so interesting how our hearts can be easily divided. And so when we learn something and we're exposed to something, inevitably there will be coming the circumstance to say, what will be your reaction to it? Their hearts burned and they got on the road. They headed back because the Lord is indeed risen, and they had witnessed and had experienced him, and they were ready to go back to Jerusalem to encourage their brethren to say, look, he is risen. He is risen indeed. And they went back and their testimony was, he is risen and we have known him, we have seen him, and he was made known to us in the breaking of bread. In the breaking of bread, and I don't believe this is the remembrance meeting, I believe this is just a common meal where there was this fellowship that they were enjoying. And that's really the key to appreciating the scriptures. It's really enjoying the Lord, and it's about fellowship. It's about sharing. The Lord himself said that, you know, when we are abiding in him and his word is abiding in us, there is something that happens. The Father and the Son come to make our abode. There is this communion and this fellowship, this constant dialogue. And sometimes we get caught up in the idea that, okay, when I'm at meeting or in amongst the brethren and amongst the saints, then we can talk about things that are related to the scripture. But I suggest that we might be in exercise to say, okay, Lord, I'm on my way to work. And there's this really annoying person at work. This person really gets on my nerves. I don't like them. There's this girl in my class, or there's this boy in my class. I just don't like him. Well, you can do two things. You can complain and moan and fret and fuss about that person. Or with grace, you could say, Lord, this is my circumstance. There's this person. I want to be your agent to minister grace to them. By having this constant dialogue and communion with the Lord as we're walking along, his word being brought to memory as we interact with him. And he instructs us that to be kind, to do good to them that persecute you, to pray for them that spitefully use you. And he tells us all of these things. Then you say, Lord, this is what you've instructed me to do. Give me that power. I want to do that today. And it changes your whole world. It changes your whole day. Why? Because in that daily communion with the Lord, taking what he has said to us and applying it to thy daily circumstance. One of the fascinating scriptures is that when we go to work, for example, and you might have a tyrannical boss. You might have a boss who's not very bright. You might have a boss that might have all kinds of complaints about your boss. But do you realize, as a one who is a follower of Jesus Christ, a believer of Jesus Christ, you don't work for your boss. You work for the Lord Christ. Boy, does that change the way you approach your work. Why? Because when I go to work, I'm not going to work for director so-and-so who is clueless. And that may be true. But you're going to work because I serve the Lord Christ. It changes the perspective. Their perspective was changed because their hearts were captivated with the truth that the scriptures tell us about Christ. And Christ tells us about things, how we ought to live and how we can represent him. They went back and testified, he is risen and he's appeared to Simon, and he was made known to us in the way and in the breaking of bread, in that place of communion. Sometimes we don't know is because we don't have the art of communion. I'm guilty of it. First thing I do is get in the car sometimes, turn on the radio. And it's not to Christian music or, you know, some Christian ministry station. It's talk radio or sports radio. And, well, you know what that does? It robs me of the opportunity of my drive time to sit quietly and commune with the Lord. Some days I get to do it. And some days, and I have an hour commute when I do go into work. It's about an hour commute and sometimes longer. And the days that I am quiet in communion, meditating on something I've read that morning, meditating on something that I've read that draws my attention to the Lord, that commute, I don't even know how long it was. All of a sudden, I'm at work because I'm not thinking about how slow the traffic is. I'm not thinking about how terrible this traffic is and how I don't like this long commute. How I'd rather work at home 5 days a week instead of just the three. It makes a difference in our outlook when the scriptures are rehearsed over and over again, and we seek to apply them under every circumstance. They rose and they went back. And as they went back, the whole group was now together, the whole group of disciples, the 11 disciples there, and then some of the women that had been and traveled with the Lord Jesus were all gathered in that one place. The Lord Jesus Christ himself appears. And you can't help but wonder what that might have been. When I was a child, one of the worst experiences I can think of was when someone would die in our family or someone would die in the meeting, in the assembly. And our parents would take us to the funeral home. And when I was a little kid, it was like the most terrible experience. I'd go home and I didn't sleep that night. All I would see is the dead person. And then the dead person would move around. You know, and it's like, oh. It's a terrifying thing to think about what they experienced here. They saw the Lord himself. And I dare say we would have been terrified ourselves, just like they were. They were terrified because a couple of things. They were struggling with their own processing of what was happening. They were trying to process what these two who had just come back, perhaps in bated breath, telling them, we've seen the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ appears in their midst, and in their fear and in their trepidation, he says, peace be unto you. Why are you troubled? That's a very vital question for us. Why are we troubled? Why are we troubled about the world's circumstances? Why are we troubled about the situations in the world? Why are you troubled and why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? The Lord Jesus Christ would read what was going on in their minds. They were having serious questions about what they were experiencing right then and there. And he says, behold my hands, my feet. See it is myself. Handle me and see for my spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ was in his resurrection body, and it's interesting, you know, for precise readers, it's not flesh and blood, it's flesh and bones. So he had the same physical characteristics, but what animated him, what moved him wasn't blood. You know, remember in the Old Testament, it tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ died, he gave out. And now he was living in the power of an endless life. He was living on the power of resurrection. And so he wasn't the same in the sense that he was driven and guided by this matter of blood. It was flesh and bone. So he had all the same physical characteristics and attributes so they can recognize him, but he was living according to the power of an endless life.